Your organic search is over. Here's Naturally Savvy with health experts Andrea Donsky and Lisa Davis.
I'm Lisa Davis here with my wonderful co-host, Andrea Donsky. And recently I had a situation with a friend where they kind of just disappeared from my life and I didn't really understand why. And I knew I didn't do anything, but somehow I felt unworthy and I felt insecure and I felt like, oh my gosh, I must have made them mad. And I reached out and they weren't getting back to me. And it turns out they were just super busy. And I just have this weird thing where if somebody, I feel like if they disappear, I must have done something. Andrea, do you ever have those feelings? And you know it's completely irrational because I didn't do anything.
Oh, absolutely. No, absolutely. I mean, I think we all do. And, you know, those insecurities. So I think what we're talking about today is going to be really, really interesting for everybody who's listening.
Yeah, so we have got the wonderful Annalee Rufus on the program, and we absolutely love her book, Unworthy. And it is just very intense, and so many of us go through this. Annalee, welcome to the show.
Hi, happy to be here. Thank you.
It's so nice to have you on. You know, we've had the pleasure of speaking before, and I related to your book so much. Give us a little bit about your own background and why you wanted to write Unworthy and how it personally affects you, those feelings we've been talking about.
Well, that little anecdote rings true right this minute. But, you know, I grew up with a mother who really, really hated herself. And I watched her look into the mirror and say terrible things to herself. And, you know, you fat pig, and worse, you know. And that is what I saw as an infant, as a child. That's what I thought people did. That's what I thought women did and adults did. And, yeah, I modeled myself after that. So I grew up doing the same thing. After she passed away 5 years ago, I realized, you know, how many people go through this. How many people are raised this way or, you know, get bullied or something happens where at some point in their life they hate themselves? And what can I do to make people stop hating themselves quite so much? So that's why I set out to write Unworthy, How to Stop Hating Yourself. Not that it's entirely worked for me, because I don't think there is a 100% cure. I think the way I see it is self-esteem spans a spectrum. And on one end, you've got the super hate yourself, want to jump off a cliff. Super, super deadly serious. On the other end, you've got this narcissism, I love myself, I'm the dictator. And what I say in the book is, and in life, is let's aim for the middle. You know, let's crawl away from the horrible edge and just get to self-acceptance. It's okay. And yeah, that person hasn't contacted me in a long time. I thought we were friends. What happened? Oh my God, that's my fault. Maybe it's not. Maybe they're busy. Or maybe they are breaking off with me, but that's not going to be the end of the world. Because, you know, I got my good points, I got my not-so-good points, and I'm going to have to be okay with that because I have to spend 24 hours a day with myself for the rest of my time on this planet.
Mm-hmm. No, which makes a lot of sense. And, you know, it's interesting because, like you said, I mean, I do know, and especially when I find, did you find in your research that women in particular have lower self-esteem than men when, you know, you were writing your book?
Strangely enough, it was my husband who kept saying that. He kept saying, you know, you write this book for everyone, but you know most of your readers are going to be female. It's just something that we sort of see around us. There's in sociology in college 1,000 years ago, I would learn that there were these sort of gendered behaviors where women are always the ones who apologize. And I know that in the book I say this, compulsively apologizing is like a dead giveaway for low self-esteem. The person who, I'm in the elevator with you, you spill coffee on me, I'll say I'm sorry, right? It's like that person is usually going to be female. Why? Because we're raised to be apologizing and think things are our fault, because we're raised to fix things and make others feel better, or what? You know, is society more savage toward us when we're young, judging us on our looks and our everything else, so that we are more insecure? I don't know, but yeah, I do think a heftier percentage of those with low self-esteem are female.
Well, that makes sense. And, you know, as we obviously can't see each other, but I could see Lisa. And the whole time as you were saying that, I was pointing to her. So I want Lisa to pipe in here because I think this is important for you and what Annalee was saying. So I'd love to hear what your thoughts are, Lisa.
Oh, well, I'm like the I'm sorry queen. And it's exactly because my family was a mess and I was always trying to fix it and it never worked. And then I was always afraid of people being mad. And so I just felt like I had to apologize for everything. And it's just this horrible, vicious cycle. And even now, like I'm confident. I feel good about myself. But there's that kid in there that's still afraid and freaked out. And, you know, that's what I'm curious about. Like, do you think that, I mean, obviously some people need to go to therapy and really work on this stuff. But for other people where it's not so serious, there are some tools. Share some of those with us that can help people.
Well, I think we've got some dead giveaway bad habits that low self-esteem sort of saddles us with. And we can take them one by one, and like we would with any other habit, little by little, quit. Talk ourselves out of it. You know, the constant apology. Every time you feel that urge, which is a strong urge, I'm sorry, pause. Just be silent for 5 seconds, and in that 5 seconds, think, why am I apologizing? What am I apologizing for? Do I really need to do this? Is there something else I can say? Other habits that we have are we cannot really accept praise. Someone compliments us, and we are going to say, no, I look terrible. No, that's not true. Oh, no. Are you joking? You know, what do you want? Okay, again, silent, pause, 5 seconds. What do I really think? What can I say? Because when we reject someone's compliment, we're rejecting that person. We're hurting their feelings. What? You don't accept me? You don't believe me? That's another thing.
I love that you're saying that. My girlfriend, whose mom is a judge, and I love a female judge. I mean, right there, mm-hmm. and then you could see the self-confidence. She always taught my friend to say, when somebody gives you a compliment, you say, thank you. That's very nice of you to say. And she would teach me that. And now I'm trying to teach that to my daughters is, you know, if somebody gives you a compliment, you say, thank you, you know, with, you know, and feel good about it. Because if they're going out of their way to give you that compliment, like you said, you make them feel good by saying, thank you very much for giving that to me.
Yeah, because it is not so easy to give compliments. So that person might have really had to work themselves up to get the courage to say that to you. So that's another thing that we can do. You know, this constantly feeling like everything is our fault, it sort of filters out into every aspect of life. Yeah, like not hearing from someone and thinking it's our fault. Hearing a harsh word and thinking that we're being blamed. Just be conscious minute by minute of, you know, where feeling attacked. Why do we feel this way? Why do we feel that we deserve to be attacked? Living in fear is another one. Another one is inability to make choices, right? If I am in an ice cream store, I'm practically paralyzed, and that's a pretty insignificant choice because people with low self-esteem are so sure that whatever choice they make, they're going to regret it because it's going to be stupid because they made it, or they're going to make someone else mad with it. So it's better to not choose than to choose because whatever we choose is going to be terrible. So when we get into a choice situation, often we'll make someone else make the choice for us. So,
I wanted to bring up what you said about your mother. And I think that's something that I talk a lot with women about is, you know, do not say negative things about yourself in front of your kids and especially mm-hmm. our daughters. And, you know, I'm very curvy and my daughter will be like, Mommy, you have such a big butt. And I'm like, yeah, I do. And you know what? It's strong and it looks good. And I look at my clothes and everything's great. And like, and then we'll, you know, we'll laugh about it, but it's not like an insult to me. And she doesn't mean it as an insult because she's like, I like your body. But if I was like, oh my God, my butt's so big. And oh my gosh, it's horrible. And it's disgusting. Then she's going to grow up thinking that. So I just think we have to be more positive.
Yeah. You're doing something that's going to last the rest of her life because it was huge to me. I didn't know it. I didn't know the effects, but it was huge to me to grow up seeing that day after day after day. Your mommy's a pig. Your mommy's a pig. Your mommy's an ugly pig. And just,
wow,
you know, that,
horrible.
You, that
so
is,
sorry.
And I think a lot of kids go through that. I tell my friends who are having kids, you know, watch what you say because children are sponges. Even if they don't say anything, they're hearing it and it's sticking with them.
Well, that's really good advice. And I know myself, I'm very careful. I try to be at least very careful in front of my daughters and try to compliment myself. Even if I may not be thinking it, I try to compliment myself and compliment them and say how healthy their bodies are. And, you know, this is such a great conversation, Annalie. And we would love to have you back on the show to talk about this in more detail and maybe talk about ways to get around self-esteem and to try and heal from it. So if you want to learn more about Annalie, you can go to her website at AnnalieRufus.com. You can also follow her on Twitter at Annalie Rufus. I'm Andrea Donsky, along with my beautiful co-host, Lisa Davis. This is Naturally Savvy Radio on Radio MD. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Your Radio MD and at Naturally Savvy. Thanks for listening, everyone. Stay well.